This is the Average Guy Network, and you have found Home Gadget Geek, show number 388, recorded on January 24th, 2019. Here at Home Gadget Geeks, we cover all the favorite tech gadgets that find their way into your home. News, reviews, product updates, and conversation, all for the average tech guy. I'm your host, Jim Cawson, broadcasting live from a windy and snowy Bellevue, Nebraska. Mike, today was weird, right? We got a bunch of snow, and then it blew all day, and it blew all the snow piles to, like, glass. Did you notice, like, as you were driving around?
Yeah, there's, like, that shimmer almost on the top, right?
Yeah. They're
perfectly smooth, too.
Yep. Just, like, icy, glassy, you know. Pretty bizarre, pretty chilly. I didn't get my driveway cleared, and now it is just an ice skating rink. And I'm going to have to wait for it to warm up before I can go out and clear it. That was a mistake. I got cleared out around my car. I went to work. I came home. I got busy. Then by the time I got off the phone last night, I was like, no, I'm not going to clear at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah. Right? Well, I've had a flat tire in my, on my snowblower, and actually my buddy, I just got it back from him. My buddy in Kansas City had been doing some renovations in his house, so he had borrowed my air compressor. And since I moved into this house, I actually don't have just a regular air pump. I've used the air compressor for everything. I never had a reason to buy one. So I didn't have a way to fill up the tire, and you know, I'm not going to shovel when you got a snowblower, but that means the snowblower was tilted. And so like, it was very uneven. It looks like some hack went out there and tried to shovel the driveway. It was not the best job. Yeah, everyone's awful, but I had to, you know, hold the left side up. So I'm really excited to have the air compressor back because it means a nice, even, snow blowing route.
Yeah, now I've got a bunch of snow piled up on my driveway. Hopefully it'll warm up this weekend. I can get out there. Speaking of this weekend, it's probably this weekend as you're listening to this. And of course you can head out to the site if you want to get it. Home Gadget Geeks. No, that's not what it is. theaverageguy.tv/HGG388. If you want to see the show notes, there's a bunch that we've already put together, and we'd love to have you check that out with some links to things we're going to talk about. Don't forget, you can join us live. Man, that salty pirate is starting to kick in, Mike, already.
Uh-oh.
This isn't good. You can join us live on our mobile apps. Get an easy way to subscribe and get kind of the show. Actually, those just show up as part of my Spreaker numbers, and that's okay. That's cool. I'm getting, I don't know, 50 or 60 listens a week out there. And but you can get the apps. Best way to listen live and on the road, homegadgetgeeks.com. Gets it done. We thank our Patreon subscribers. For those of you, it costs me a couple hundred bucks a year to keep those things active. And our Patreon subscribers help pay for that. So we appreciate that. If you want to join the group, who's jumping in and helping us out with some of the bills here, you can head out to our theaverageguy.tv/Patreon to get that done. And we appreciate our Patreon subscribers to do that. Mike, a couple announcements for right at the top of the show. Next week, no live show, which means no recorded show. So you get the weekend off. Catch up on your other favorite podcasts. I have a full week of training doing some global webcastings at work. I have eight. I'll do eight podcasts through the course of the week. Next week, two a day, and then one on Friday, basically, is the way that works out. So no Home Gadget Geeks January 31st, 2019 is that date. If we just won't be out here live. I think that's the 31st or something like that.
Yes, you're right.
Thursday? Okay, good. I want to make sure I got that right. And then the week after, we're moving the live show from February 7th, which is a Friday, no, Thursday, to February 6th, which is a Wednesday. So come out Wednesday night if you can. Can you do that? Would that February 6th work for you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. That would be great.
Well, we only do that every once in a while, but a big awards program, our Gallup's annual year-end awards is the 7th, and I just can't make it that night. It's going to be a fun night, and there's just no way to make it back in time to get this done. And so we'll be moving that to February 6th. So if you're in the chat room right now, write that down. No show next week. No show the week after. If you are moving to Wednesday the week after. If you are a recorded listener, you got a week off. And just catch up on some other things. So we appreciate you doing that as well. If you are a live listener, you'll notice Chatwing is dead. RIP Chatwing. For those of you who only listen to the recorded show and hear us refer to the chat room all the time, we do. I bet I say so-and-so in the chat room. This week, Monday, Chatwing just disappeared. And I think I've been using Chatwing 5 years maybe. And it literally hasn't changed. It's still the same code base. It was the same code base that it was 5 years ago. Gone, history, not available. We are going to use, for now, the YouTube chat. So if you come over to theaverageguy.tv/live, and right below the video window is going to be the link for the chat. So if you've come over to theaverageguy.tv live right now and you're watching the video, then you're like, hey, where's the chat room? Well, it's on YouTube. So click on the link down below. It'll open up another, I think it'll open up in the same tab, the video. That way you don't get the echo that's in there. I kind of set it that way. And then the chat room's right there. If you have a Google account, log in, or make sure you're logged in. I'll use whatever account that's there. We've got a bunch of you. Looks like, eight or 10 or so have made their way over, and they're super chatty in the chat room. What do you think of this YouTube chat?
I dig it. Yeah. Like you and I were talking in the pre-show, the only downside is that you can't see who all is logged in, yeah, right? So you can't see who's here. But I've been using a lot of different chats, and not many of them even do that now. I mean, obviously if we did something with like Discord, we could use Discord, but then you can't, that's not public out there, right? And that's two different apps. So especially for people on mobile, that would be impossible to use if you spread it out that way. So I think for what we're doing, I think it's good.
Yeah, not too many downsides to it. If you can pop the chat out, if you go to they're using the three dot, not the hamburger method, but the three dots. If you click on those upper right-hand corner, you can pop the chat room out, which is really convenient on a desktop if you want to do it that way. There is, in the upper left-hand corner, there's a drop down that either live chat or what they're calling top chat. And I think for chat rooms that maybe have hundreds or thousands of people in it, I don't know the algorithm that it does to select that, but it's a little different. It's sorted a little bit different. For this show, I would encourage everyone, just flip it over to live chat, upper left-hand corner, to get that done. That's everything that's done in chronological order. You can also, there's timestamps available, so you can toggle those on and off if you want to see how long it's been since someone posted something. So that's available as well. It uses your Google account, so you can, if you've got multiple ones, you can quickly log out, go to the YouTube page, or right there on the YouTube page, switch accounts, go to the live page, pop it out, and then your idea is going to stick with it. So that's kind of cool if you want to get it done that way. And the reason we didn't switch to this a long time ago is links never worked. So they kind of blocked the links inside the chat. So for a tech show, it's super important that we can link to things in the chat. So it kind of kept me on Chatwing for a really long time until this happened. And now that it's gone and we can share links, we're going to give this a try. So we'll probably be on YouTube chat for, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks. See how it goes. If there's no reason to move, I don't know why I would use another service. Pretty easy to... Mike, can you think of any other reasons? Like if this worked, why would I change?
No, I don't think so. Unless you were trying to build an audience over on like Twitch or something like that. But besides that, I think this is going to work really well for people. Yeah. We'll have to know, like, people are on mobile if the chat does continue to work well in the mobile app. And then the best way to link out to it, right? So I would be interested if they're on mobile. Did they go to the live page and then click that link? Maybe that works great.
Yeah. Well, we're going to give it a shot. And your feedback, jim@theaverageguy.tv, if you got something different. Many of the other services are pretty expensive to use, anywhere from $15 a month, which isn't that terrible, to I've seen as much as $100 a month to host these. Wow. Yeah. We could use Discord. I'm not a big fan of it, just in the sense that you need a Discord. You have to create a Discord account, which a lot of people, maybe for this audience, have already, but my Gallup audience doesn't, and I'm trying to keep them kind of on the same thing. So we'll give that, we'll try. Appreciate your feedback in the chat room this evening as we're doing this as well. So if you see things, got questions on it, drop it in there as well. One of the things, Mike, is interesting is I have to relearn some names. So like Brian, I know Brian's out there, but Canadian Maker Project. Well, I know that's Ron, but I wouldn't know it's Ron if I didn't know it was Ron. Right. So that's, Justin's got, he's pretty easy to find. Tujoski, we had to kind of translate his name out there. So if you're using a Google account that's specialized, we'll get to know you after a while, but it may take a little bit of time for us. Oh, there he goes. Joe changed it. It may take some time to get those down. Mike, in our Facebook group this week, we've been posting pictures of our rack, not this rack, but the rack, our computer rack. That is out there. Brian was got it started right after the show last week. I posted mine, and then nobody else posted theirs. And I thought, I wonder why. And I was thinking, well, maybe people don't want it. Like Paul Breran's concern, they got thousands of dollars of equipment in their house, and they don't want to be tied to them. Okay, awesome. Send it to me, jim@theaverageguy.tv. We'll keep it anonymous, and I'll post it in the Facebook group, And I'll just leave it anonymous. That way nobody can track it down, know that you've got it if you want to get it that way. If you don't care, just head over to our Facebook group. Post your rack out there. We'd love to see what it looks like.
Yeah, and it doesn't even need to be your rack. Like I know a lot of you guys don't have technically like server racks or a place you have it, but maybe a desk setup. I love seeing people's desk setup, right? Like how their, you know, their workstation, wherever they get stuff done. If you have a place that's kind of set up, I also posted my rack out there, and I kind of gave a brief description of what's in the rack. But before that, on my Twitter, I had actually posted, because people were like, oh, you always post pictures of your rack, but like, let's see where you actually sit and do your work. So I kind of did a behind the scenes, because I'm here, like you guys can tell watching me on the podcast, that obviously I'm in my basement, right? That's my workbench behind me, but they wanted to see everything else. So yeah, just wherever, post anything like that. Any part of your setup doesn't have to necessarily be your server rack, but I have been enjoying those. I always like that. I mean, I'll sit on YouTube and watch, you know, home network tours for hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to post my desk. It's a little messy. I think I've done that before. Most folks have seen it. The desk has almost as much computer equipment on it as the rack does that sits right behind it. You know, I bought just a little Walmart metal and wood. Actually, maybe I got it at Menards. I can't remember, but it's a metal, you know, with the flimsy things, you snap them together and then you put the wood on the bottom. It was like, I don't know, $40, maybe 50, and three shelves, and it does a great job. You know, you don't need that something really expensive to get it done. So Jim@theaverageguy.tv, if you want to send me a picture, I'll post it in the Facebook group anonymously. If that's what you want, just let me know. And otherwise, get out there on Facebook and get it done. Mike, I am still wanting to connect with folks on Xbox. I am finding actually managing the social aspect of Xbox, it's a lot easier in the Windows 10 app than it is on the Xbox. I mean, have you had that same experience?
I use the iOS app all the time. So the app on the phone, you can do your messages there. You can add, like when you told me what your name was, I opened the app on my phone, found you. It's really easy. And then, you know, I don't know if you've had a game that you've been able to experience this with, but if you have first of all, you can use the Xbox app on your iPad or your iPhone in while you're playing, right? So it says, oh, I got a message. Well, I don't want to hop out of my game to go reply to a message. So I'll open up my phone. But some games have a full companion app. So Red Dead Redemption, you open up your iPad, you open up the Red Dead app there, and then you've got, I can see myself.
Weird. Sorry. I get that was Inception right there.
That was Inception. But so the Red Dead app, you open it up and then that is fully interactive. Like it's a map there. I can click on my iPad and it sets a waypoint, and then that waypoint shows up on the Xbox. I think a lot of game developers are starting to come up with cool ways to use your second screen, as they call it, to interact with your game. So yeah, I totally agree. But the interaction there between the two is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm in what you're seeing right now is just the Xbox app on Windows, Windows 10. And you can see I've got some activity alerts that are here. I can see what's going on in the feed. I can go home and kind of manage. I don't think I'm giving away any information I shouldn't at this point. But good opportunities to see what's going on there. I think social feed-wise, just a lot easier to manage that through Windows 10. So I will probably leave the Xbox app open. And the other thing... I found on the Xbox this week, you know, we've been talking about collecting Microsoft points and how you can use those for a variety of things. When I bought the Xbox, I got Microsoft points for it. When I bought, by the way, not all of them at once, they've been kind of leaking them into my reward system. I think I'm going to get a couple thousand out of the deal, maybe 2,000, I think. And they're going to just kind of leak them in kind of over time to get that done. They have kind of taken away in the reward system. They took away that full year, at least at this point, they took away the full year of the gold pass. In about 3 months, I could have earned enough points pretty easily to get a gold pass for a year. And so that was my plan. Then they took it away. Now it's a month and 3 months. Well, I can still crank on and get every 3 months. I can get I can just keep extending it for 3 more months.
And you can plug in those promo codes all at once and it'll add up as much as you want. It'll just keep extending. So you can plug them in whenever. You don't have to wait till the end.
I'm also kind of hoping they'll bring it back. So I've been kind of, I don't need to do anything on gold with a gold pass. Is that what they call it? Yeah, it's a gold pass? No.
Yeah. Xbox Live Gold.
Live Gold. There we go.
Yeah.
And, but it's certainly a way, you know, if you're cheap like me, that all these things count. But there's a rewards app on the Xbox, and actually the points are ridiculous. Like, you know, when I'm doing it on the PC or whatever, I get 5 or 10 points for, you know, answering a survey or whatever. on Xbox, you play, you download a game. By the way, if you have Game Pass, it's free, 100 points. That's just for downloading the game. So I was like, oh, hey, this is even better, especially if I can get, you know, the live stuff, the gold stuff for it. So don't, if you're in that ecosystem, don't miss the rewards points. These are pretty easy. You can get, you can, there's other things you can do too. You can submit yourself for raffles, for drawings, for Surface hardware. There's charity things you can give away. They'll match your points with it if you give it away via charity. There's all kinds of things available. So check that out. It's a great way to use Edge because you get more points if you're on Edge. It's really the only reason you'd ever use Edge, just to be 100% honest, or you're viewing a PDF, one of the two. But it, like, I got 180 points in one night on using the Xbox, and I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. So I went back there. So check that out, and you too can get free points doing it that way, and there's an app on your Xbox to get signed up as well. Mike, you've been considering, speaking of fitness gear, and this will tie into one of our hosts from a ways back, but you've been considering doing Peloton, and man, dude, that is a money hole you go into, so you really got to consider this. But talk a little bit, what is that and why?
Yeah, and you'll have to let me know if my video is going out again.
I think it's a little choppy.
Yeah. Dubacati's trying to finish up this thing, and it's going crazy. But
we're going to talk about that here in a second.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so Peloton, you know, for those of you guys who don't know, I'm sure you've seen the commercials, is the stationary bike, or the, now they have a treadmill, pretty much with an iPad on it, right? It's got a big screen, and they do live classes, live courses that you're plugged into as you're doing the ride, right? So it's a little bit of a social aspect. You can compete against friends. And so I've been really considering it. We have a ton of people at work that do it, and they really enjoy it. But man, you are right. Like, it is an expensive hobby to get into. First of all, the bike alone is $2,000. And then it's $40 a month just to have a subscription to the service to watch the videos. So even after you pay off the bike, right? Because they do have an option. You can just do $58 a month, for 3 years, it's 39 months. So you can do $58 a month if you want to pay off the bike, 0% interest, buy through them. So, I mean, not a terrible option.
That's not a bad idea.
You know, if you think, okay, I'm going to the gym, and if I'm paying $150 a month to go to a gym, which is the gym I was going to was $150 per person. So we were paying $150 for me and $150 for Hannah. So $300 total for this gym. Great gym, fantastic gym. But as we started to look at the budget, like, okay, we need to make some changes here. So, you know, that might not be a bad option for people. So I just kind of want to know if people have them out there, you know, if they've been trying them. So if any of our listeners do have one, or they know of someone who has one, hit me up on Twitter or Facebook, whatever, however you want to get a hold of me. And let me know what you think. Everyone that I've talked to just raves about them. They do say, you know, it's a little bit of an investment. You got to be willing to get into it. But once you do, it's pretty nice.
Our good friend Micah Librant, who was on the show talking about some kitchen tech, some air fryers, and some other things we did a while back. She has a Peloton bike at home and has just been loving it. By the way, you can use the app without having to have their equipment. I think that's like an $11 service or something if you just want to use their app. And the crazy thing about it, and why I think it's so good, is it's like a podcast. So you can either join a live workout or you can catch a recorded one.
Right.
And having somebody screaming at you about, you know, or encouraging you, let's put it that way. Having someone encouraging you while you're working out oftentimes is a really helpful, you know, workout aid. I have been trying, and with bouts of successfulness, some more than others, but getting on the treadmill and watching YouTube videos. And I'll talk about a piece of equipment that I bought for that here a little bit later. But having that accountability with the community, it's like in the Fitbit thing. Like, you know, my Fitbit has been a failure. Moving over to the Apple Watch and getting Fitbit to sync, absolute disaster.
Doesn't work, huh?
No, I know. And it's as bad as I thought it would be. If it requires me to do something, it's never going to happen. Like,
yeah,
I'm going to do it for the first 3 days and then I'm going to forget, right? It has to be automatic. So I still need to find an app that's automatic. I'll throw that out there, community. If you know what will get me from the Apple Watch to Fitbit, I've been trying my health sync. Let me just make sure I've got that. I don't want anybody to say, oh yeah, you should use you should use that app. And then you're like, well, I already kind of am. It's called My Fitness Sync. Doesn't work. Requires a manual push thing every time I want to sync the data. It needs to be completely automatic. So we'll take some crowdsourcing on that one. But yeah, that Peloton is pretty great. We're going to have Micah back on here in a couple of weeks to talk about a backpack that I gave her and some other tech that we're doing. And so Mike, we can get kind of a follow-up on that Peloton bike.
Yeah, no, that would be great. And you totally nailed it. It's the accountability side of things, right? Like when I was going to the gym, the thing I loved about it was that all my coworkers were there and they gave me shit when I got to work if I wasn't there. I mean, one of the coworkers and I even had a thing where, you know, if I go at least 4 days and you don't get there 4 days in the week, then I owe you your coffee on Monday. Right. And you would get them a Starbucks coffee. I mean, it was that accountability and it worked really well. So now, you know, I got a lot of other coworkers who are on this and they compete live against each other. Right. I mean, they're pedaling and they're all, you know, one's in California, one's in New York, and they're having a blast with it. So I think it would be a lot of fun. It'll be interesting. We'll see how it goes.
Okay. Well, we'd love your feedback. Send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. If you've got some information that you want to share with us as well, Mike. It's been no doubt Amazon is getting into home automation. No doubt. BotRing, they've done a bunch of other acquisitions. If you have been listening to Richard Gunther at all on Home On, which you should be listening to, he's been interviewing some of those folks in that space and has been talking about it. But a recent article out there about the Zigbee Alliance, you want to talk about that?
Yeah. So Amazon, obviously, you know, we know that they like the Zigbee standard. You know, when you think of Zigbee, you think of your different home automation standards. Obviously, there's Wi-Fi and there's Bluetooth, but there's also Zigbee, right? And so Amazon has kind of been making this more and more prevalent in their devices. They actually released an Echo Dot a little over a year ago that has Zigbee built in. That pretty much allows their Dot to be kind of a hub for a lot of these smart home devices that would usually require a secondary hub. So Amazon actually, though, went a little bit step further and they got a seat on the board of the Zigbee Alliance. So kind of think of it as the people who are going to set the standards for Zigbee, see what the future is going to be with Zigbee. So they got a spot on the board. They do pay for this spot, right? This isn't like some big honor or anything like that. I mean, they're paying $70,000 a year to have this seat on the board. But just, it's interesting because it shows a little bit where they may be putting their chips, right? I think I was shocked to see this because I think of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. You know, Bluetooth has gotten so good and the long-range capabilities. I have the new SimpliSafe security system in my home. And one of the big upgrades from the current gen SimpliSafe, from their first gen SimpliSafe, is that they upgrade the Bluetooth. And the range is fantastic. So it all runs on Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. So the base station connects to Wi-Fi, but all the devices are Bluetooth. And I have these things strung all over my house and have zero connectivity issues. They all work great. So I was actually surprised to see Amazon putting a little more emphasis behind Zigbee. So we'll see where this goes, see if they do anything more with it, but or how they impact the Zigbee Alliance and see if they have, you know, a big player like Amazon. When Amazon does something, everyone listens, right, in this space. So we'll see where it goes from here. Jim, are you surprised, though, that Zigbee is kind of the direction they're going with some of this stuff? And to be honest, until I read this article, I didn't even know that they had Zigbee in one of their dots. I didn't know that was a thing.
I don't know. No, maybe not. Maybe no comment on that. I have not. You know, I've heard Zigbee, Z-Wave, those terms being thrown around. I don't, when I'm purchasing home automation products, I don't even think about it. I look what's compliant with what. What will it work on Amazon? You know, right. Will it work on Google? And so I don't spend a lot of time. By the way, I think that's a good sign that home automation has got to the point where even the tech guys aren't all that concerned about standards because it's working mostly for everything. You know, Amazon, we talked a little bit about this last week, is releasing or has released through their apps some capabilities, some home security capabilities that in there. Of course, Ring has that really affordable $10 monitoring. If you've purchased a Ring doorbell, you can get security monitoring now for $10. That certainly adds, you know, think about the days of ADT, Mike, when, you know, you'd have somebody come out and they might throw in a certain package of security software, and then monitoring is $60 or $160 a month for ADT or one of those security companies to monitor. Now with Ring, $10. Well, all of a sudden, right? That's affordable. And I wouldn't think twice if I had a Ring doorbell. Not here. We won't have one here. But next place, first purchase. Okay, that's probably not totally true. But
one of the
first purchase will probably be toilet paper. But the second purchase will be a Ring doorbell. And, I'm probably going to dig in a little bit more on these and know, like, okay, I'm moving in. I'm not going to make this mistake. When I move in, I'm not going to piecemeal a system. I'm going to buy one system that everything works together the way I want it to work. I'm going to get it working all at once. This may not be true. I'm not going to screw with it. Like, it's home security. I'm not going to keep trying to trade out something for another. I think I'm going to get in, get it done, stop messing with it, and maybe spend a couple $1,000 to get all the right door sensors and cameras and stick up cams. And so I'll have to kind of make a decision. Maybe we'll talk about that later in the spring. Like, okay, who am I going to land on? What works together? Where are we going to put things? So that's, I don't know. Those are kind of my thoughts. Yours?
Yeah. Same thing. It's nice that, like you said, I know we kind of piecemeal this together, but the technology has made it a little bit easier to do that. I have a bunch of different systems. The only one, though, that doesn't tie in is my SimpliSafe security system. It technically does, right? I can ask Lady A to arm the system and everything like that. But as far as like viewing the cameras, because I do have my doorbell is from SimpliSafe and I do have a camera inside from SimpliSafe, the SimpliSafe app is the only place I can view those, right? I can't view those in SightHound. SightHound is, so you're right. I think it would be nice to have one end all be all app that you can kind of go to. The only thing that concerns me there is you are putting all your eggs in one basket. Right. But the convenience factor there is probably really nice to have everything there. And it really probably does simplify the amount of money you're spending. You're not spending $10 for this monitoring, $20 for this camera, all that sort of stuff.
Well, I've got piecemeal cameras all over the house and it's ridiculous. I have to think like, okay, if I want to view this camera, what am I viewing it on? Because I have to think of the app, right? And so it is one of those where, and maybe it's not 100%, but maybe it's close, maybe it's 90% of everything is on one thing and, you dabble with some other stuff, but it's not like you're changing your doorbell out all the time, but I'm going to think through it because lights have gotten really complicated and not in a bad way. You have so many more options now of what kind and retrofit and does it have a speaker in it? And are you going to get lights that have color capabilities? You're going to get dimmable, like some rooms, like the hallway, not sure. And this may not be true either, but not sure I really need dimmable in the hallway. Hallway needs to be on or needs to be off.
I think the hallway is actually the one place you enjoy it, right? Because at night you have just enough light so you can see when you're stumbling through we go back and forth to our laundry room and stuff like that. Actually, so that is one where I do have it dimmed, and we actually use it quite a bit.
Yeah, or it senses motion and the hallway dims.
True. Right? Yeah, that'd be great.
One of those kinds of things. And it dims just enough. It doesn't wake everybody. I told you, I might be wrong on this one. I'm trying to think. Maybe the studio lights. Like, when I turn the studio lights on down here, I want a full blast. They're either on or they're off. I don't want to dim these lights down here, right? And so, but those are considerations when you're thinking about, safety and security. How do I want to present the lighting routine in my house when I'm gone? Do I want it to be random? Do I want to if this and that? There's some apps now that are starting to learn when and where you turn lights on and off. And then when you're out, it mimics that. So it looks more real than it would just turning it on, turning it off type deal. I don't know. We'll have to think. Right now I'm leaning towards Ring as kind of the cams and the doorbell and some of those things to work. But I really like Philips Hue lighting. That's something I like. I love what they're doing. I love the connectivity of Philips Hue.
Yeah.
So, and that stuff literally gets better every day. I mean, every day it gets better. So I've got some decisions to make, Mike. It'll be interesting when it goes. Your video keeps getting bad, but there's a reason why it's getting bad. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, actually, go into one of yours. I'm going to drop and get back in because that's not the reason anymore. That's been stopped. So I don't know what it is. I'm going to try and reconnect and see if it's better.
drop and come back in for a second. I'll be talking. All right. This week, I was talking about a little bit about, I guess I didn't say this, but I'll say this now. I've purchased, well, here comes Mike back in here. Maybe we'll just wait for him. Then we'll talk about this. All right.
We'll see. We'll see if it stays up.
Let's see if that works. Okay. But tell us why, before I do this review of this, these soulmates or soundmates, sorry, product. Talk a little bit about why you thought you were having problems.
Well, so we talked about backup last week, and we talked about my catastrophe story. You know, you guys all, I even got some comments from you guys. I really appreciate that on the, you know, so the hard drive failing on the Unraid box and not having backups and things like that. And it really made me say, okay, Mike, this is the time. You've had one of these, you got off easy because it was, you know, it was just, you know, you lost some app data, no big deal. You know, this wasn't all of your photos or anything like that, but maybe it's time to actually take this seriously. Because when I made the switch over from my QNAP NAS over to Unraid, I just hadn't taken the time. I hadn't had everything worked out the way I wanted to. And you know, with backing up servers, you use buckets and saying that you really need to have your data set in the way you want before you start doing the backups. Otherwise, if you move stuff around and create a new share, then it's, you know, it's going to have to re-upload all of that. And it takes some time to upload that. So finally got everything set. So this weekend I was looking for what is the best Docker to back up Unraid, and then what is the best service. And I think we've come to the conclusion, at least a little bit, and I think there's still some people out there that have some other options, but Backblaze B2 is just a rock solid backup application, backup service for, first of all, for your personal computers, they can do that as well, but then also for servers, you know, with the buckets and things like that. So the B2 service is great, extremely affordable. It's half a cent per gigabyte. So really affordable. I think it's one of the cheapest out there, if not the cheapest out there for storage. And so I was like, okay, let's just get this set up. Let's see how hard it is. I actually thought it was going to be a little bit more complicated than it was. It was drop dead easy with Duplicati. So Duplicati is the Docker that I decided to go with. And I think Duplicati actually is like everywhere. I think you can get the application for desktops, but it's a great Docker for Unraid. If you are an Unraid person, it backs up to all sorts of different mediums. So if you want to back it up to a local USB hard drive that you plug in. So if I want to, you know, plug in an 8 terabyte external, back it up, take that, leave it at work, you know, in case something were to happen to the house, you could do that. But Backblaze B2 is just built into Duplicati. It's one of the options, one of the cloud providers that's built in. Plug it in, give it your credentials, and you're good, and it just runs rock solid. I don't want to blame that for my video issues tonight. It was doing some backups, but it's not backing up now, and I can already tell you my video is about to start going bad again. I watch my my input and output here on this computer. I can see the upload to you just tank. So but yeah, a fantastic way to get things done. I'm really happy with it. B2, the interface, if you go out to B2 and you log in, you can see all your files there. It actually gives you a real-time prediction on what your bill is going to be. So as it's receiving more and more data, it'll update that prediction for what your bill will be based on how much data you have out there. Extremely easy to use. I think it's probably one of the easiest and maybe one of the best services. They do have the option for if you want to recover, they will ship you a hard drive with all of your data on it. You know, saves you from downloading terabytes of data as well. So I went in, I reorganized everything. I pulled out my media, like my Plex media. I pulled that out into its own share. I'm not going to back that up to the cloud. I'm not worried about that. I might back that up locally to a external and put that somewhere, but I'm not going to back all that stuff up to the cloud. The main, the photos, the documents, and all of that went up there. And it went, I was expecting for this to be like a project, right? And it was extremely easy. I got it done in 20 minutes. And Jim, we talked about this where you plan to have a project and you sit down like, well, that was easy. Now what? You know, I guess I'll watch the meter fill up. So I just sat there. I'm like, oh, okay, that's pretty cool. Maybe the other thing I really like about it is exactly. Maybe I should break it. The other thing that I loved about it is sometimes on these, they don't make throttling very easy. When you open the web UI of Duplicati, it's literally right up top. Click it, say, okay, limit it to 2 megabit upload. You can limit how much bandwidth it's actually going to use. So it's been great because when we're not home or at night, I let it just go full throttle. Just take it all. I don't really care how much upload. And then, you know, when I get home, I'll go in and I'll change it and I'll limit it down, you know, in case, because we FaceTime Hannah's parents and my parents all the time. So just to make sure you have enough upload to do everything else. Obviously, maybe I don't know what's going on tonight with my video with this computer, but the throttling on the network is extremely easy via the web GUI.
Yeah, B2 has been a surprise. And I hate to... I'm a little hesitant to say it's the crash plan replacement. There was some chat in the Facebook group, like many of us, it's been a year since crash plan kind of bailed on all of us, so to speak. And they gave us a pretty sweet deal for a year. It was great. And then it goes from like, I don't know, $2 a month, literally, to like $20 a month. And you're like, okay, this is stupid. And I made the switch over the summer to B2. Actually, made the switch when I got the Morrow data box. And man, those guys over there at Morrow Data could not have made setting it up. It's like on your Docker. They could not have made that any simpler. The reports on B2 actually make sense. Like you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Like,
exactly.
Yeah. No, these guys, this is kind of where CrashPlan was. Now, B2 requires, like, if you're just going to back up a single PC, it's just easier to buy Carbonite or Backblaze has an offering. Just backs it all up. They got unlimited plans. It's $60 a year. Just do that. But if you're doing more complicated stuff, you've got this Unraid box. I'm using a Morrow Data cache server box. You're using a Drobo. You've got, you know, a NAS, a QNAP or a Synology. Yeah, I think it's time to consider a B2. $10 for me, just under $10, 2 terabytes. Not bad. It's $120 a year when you think of it that way. But it's rock solid storage that works great, grows with me. I could shrink it if I need to. I could grow it. Snapshots. I can duplicate things. I can get to the data on the web. These guys are doing pretty well.
Very well. Yeah, I was very pleased. It was a good experience.
We will have the link for Duplicati and for B2. I don't have an affiliate program out there, but just go out there if you're interested in doing that. If you got caught in that in the crash plan debacle, or it's probably time, and you haven't looked, it's time to look, because you might be surprised by what crash plan is charging you. At this point, Mike, you've also been using Slack notifications.
That was one thing that I really enjoyed setting up as well, Jim. So I was finding myself logging into, well, first of all, I was VPNing into my home network, and then I was logging into all my different, you know, to Unraid, to Untangle, and just to, you know, see some of the notifications, see how things are going. And I found myself logging in, and it's one of those, well, first of all, still Unraid is new and fun for me. So I like logging in and looking at the dashboard, watching the usage, seeing what's going on. But really, when you get to it, you really only need to know about certain notifications and what you want to get from that. So what I found is Slack is a fantastic way to consolidate all of your notifications, and talk about an easy platform on your PC, on your mobile, wherever you're at. Slack has a great app for it. So all you have to do is create your own Slack channel, Slack server, whatever they call it. I think it's Workspace is what they're technically called. So create your own Slack Workspace. You can do it for free. Go into the settings. You can set up apps and create a webhook for your channel. And then you simply plug in that webhook URL to, like, Unraid has Slack built in as one of the options. You just go in there, plug in the webhook, say, you know, send my notifications there, and you're good. Then I went to Untangle. Untangle was my firewall. We talked a couple weeks ago about how I replaced pfSense with Untangle. Untangle, same sort of thing, allows you to send it right to Slack, put in your webhook. So now I have this channel, and I put a screenshot in the Facebook group about it, but I have a channel on Slack, and I set it to give me notifications on my phone. So I get all the pertinent notifications to my phone when things, first of all, have done well. Like every morning I get, hey, you know, your app data backup was successful. And that's always just good to know, right? Because you get those. And I think, Jim, you've done it by email, right? Where it alerts you. And when you don't see that, you're like, okay, something went wrong because the backup didn't happen. So I'm getting all those alerts to Slack. I just found that it's one of the best ways. It was really something that I hadn't thought of before. I really didn't think about a way to consolidate all of my notifications. And secondly, I definitely hadn't thought of Slack being the answer. But it really is, if you don't mind using it, and free, right? You can't beat free. You can't beat a really rock solid app wherever you're at.
No, cool. Yeah, Slack is good for that. They got a lot of great integrations. There we go. I kept wanting to say interactions, but that's not the right answer. A lot of great integrations, and it's one of those things, like, as I'm using Discord's got some of those things you can do to it as well. That's pretty cool. I should do a little bit of a retraction. Joe Tajoski said Crash Plan's just $10 a month now for their small business unlimited plan, and that is per device.
Oh, so interesting.
You have multiple devices, of course, you're going to pay per. Many of the other services like Carbonite or Backblaze, similar in pricing. I think they were higher, and maybe the debacle was bad enough because that small business plan wasn't, I don't think it was $10 a month when we moved them over.
And I think it's $10 a month per device.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. Right?
And so you're not, and you, I don't think that counts for a server.
And I don't think they let you put it on a server.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean. So it wouldn't work for someone who's running on RAID or something like that.
No, right. That's, you're going to have to do some different things. But if you're just looking for a backup, don't tell Mike Howard I said that. Mike, are you out there? I haven't seen him in the chat room. If you joined us late and you're like, where the heck is the chat room? Where'd that go? We're over on YouTube chat. There's actually a link down below the video window down here that will take you to. It'll open up a new window. You'll get your YouTube back, but you get your chat room as well. We're on YouTube chat if you haven't joined us. Mike Howard, if you're over there, he got so burned by CrashPlan. It was at work too. And then they kind of pulled some shenanigans on us when they switched us over from their consumer plans to the small business plans. Maybe they learned some lessons through that and they've cleaned that up. Backblaze, Carbonite, CrashPlan, they're all in that space. Do your own homework. Things change all the time, as we know. Chatwing, things like Chatwing disappear. So you might want to check those out as well. Mike, this week, you know, I've been thinking that I'm going to get a pair of AirPods, right? AirPods?
Yeah.
So, no, those aren't it. But they kind of look like it, right? So I was at a Shopko. For those of you who, that's a very Midwest retailer. It's like a Walmart, only worse. I know that's not possible, but it's
smaller, way smaller than a Walmart.
Way smaller. Actually, they pack more unusual things into that store. Like when we would be looking for something and we couldn't find it anywhere else in town, we go to Shopko, they'd have it. And it's a smaller store. It's weird. Anyways, they're going out of business, or some of their stores are closing, I guess. And so they're clearancing out the stores. So I found these Soundmates. If you go to Ollie, put the link in the show notes as well from Shopko. Do not buy them there, but I'll put the link out there if you want to see them. The question was, could I find a pair of cheaper, you know, it's $160, right? AirPods, $160, right?
$140.
Are they $149 or are they $139? Okay. You check on that. But these work very similar. I mean, it's gotta be just a ripoff of the design. These are $40 instead of $140. I think that's the difference. Maybe $139. One of the things I think on an Apple, on the Apple version, when you push this, they pop out, right?
No.
How do you get them out? Just pull them out?
Yeah.
Like, these are really hard to pull out.
Oh, no. They're pretty easy to pull out.
They just come right out. Yeah. No, these don't. So I thought, okay, well, if they even work half as good as what I think they should, okay, not bad. They've got a little charging port in the bottom. So, comes with a little charger. You plug it in USB, boom, charges the case. The pods get charged in the case when they're in there. Like, okay, super cool. Good. So I put them on my ear, start listening to podcasts, and their echo on there is just, nope, sorry, don't say anything, echo. we'll shut her off. The sound is really hollow and airy kind of thing. And then, so I'm like, okay, well, maybe it's just my podcast app needs to be adjusted. And then I flip it over to, here's the, but they look, I mean, look how much they look like AirPods.
Yeah, they look extremely similar.
Yeah, I mean, really, really close. It's like
almost identical.
Like a lawsuit.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say that. That looks like a lawsuit.
They're that close to a lawsuit.
Yeah.
So, cut it over because I'll be watching a lot of YouTube. I really bought them because I want to have them when I'm on the treadmill. And so I put YouTube on, and man, the Bluetooth latency on these things, it's like it's sending the signal around the world. I mean, I cannot believe how far the audio is behind.
Like 2 seconds,
video.
Maybe even?
Maybe. Yeah, wow. Maybe. Okay. Now, Brian, you have a pair of AirPods. Mike, do you
yes.
own them?
Oh, I love them.
Latency when you're watching YouTube or no?
Zero. None. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
We're talking about, you know, the sound quality on the AirPods. Now, I'm going to say it's fantastic. Fantastic for earbuds, right? Yeah. Like, don't expect Bose over the ear, but for earbuds, they're fantastic. They never lose connection.
Yeah.
They're always in sync, and you can it does the whole, you know, pull one out and they pause, put one away. You can use it in just one. They've got touch. They are
stereo. Yeah. Is it in stereo when you're talking on the phone, or is it just one ear?
if you have both in it stereo, or you can pull one out, put it away, and then
for just a phone call single. As well.
Yeah. Yep.
Just one ear on these when you do a phone call.
Oh, okay.
So I guess I say this to say, one, don't buy these. Two, well, they're going back, by the way. I'm taking them. I kept the box and everything. They're going back. Two, be careful with these kinds of things. This was one of those, like, and sometimes this works. Like, sometimes you buy a cheap, a cheap pair of things, and you're like, okay, actually, that was 80% of the way there. Good enough. I can't watch a YouTube video and have the sync be off by 2 seconds.
No, definitely not.
Lose my mind. Now, maybe you are running and you don't care. You're never going to watch it on a screen. Probably good enough, right? Probably good enough. But they'll be going back. I still have them on my list of things to get. And when I'm in the right spot, I may look for a deal on them, maybe a refurb deal, something like that. But they're still on my list. But these sound mates, there'll be a link to it to not make the cut.
They're not the answer, sure. Huh?
They are not going back for sure. What's staying is I purchased a Xbox. If you've been listening to the show at all over the last 3 weeks, all I've talked about is freaking Xbox. It seems like, but I bought I debated. I went back and forth. This is a battery pack for it, by the way, dual battery pack. So one in the controller, one always charging, always available for that. Pops out super easy. Packs go in nice and easy. Everything you would expect from a recharger. Does its job. Has a little place to hide. If you want to hide the cable, goes back in nice and easy. So when you're done, you wrap that thing around. Boom, it's gone. You could travel with it, whatever you want to do. $25, right? I looked at some then I thought, after I bought it, I thought, maybe I should have just gotten 4 lithium ion batteries. Same thing.
That's what I do.
And yeah, a charger.
Rechargeable batteries, yep.
Yeah. $20. So I didn't feel too bad. I could have gone cheaper, but I think with batteries, it's kind of one of those things you get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Kind of sometimes too, you don't want to go to too cheap. These have that cover on them so that they are always together and you're not trying to find one or the other. Mike, I'm kind of glad I got this. I always have a pair charging. Do you do anything like that?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say, where's on the camera? Okay, right here. No, that's wrong side. Over here. That's my battery charging station. So I have a big charging bank, and on the side is all my batteries. So I do the same thing, Jim. I get a bunch of AAs, AAAs, and I have the charging station, pull them out, bring them down. But I will say the one nice thing about the way you did it is your batteries aren't going to walk away because that's the only device you can put them in. I have found that my rechargeable batteries end up in devices all over the house. Like, oh, we don't have any AAAs for Emmett's toy. Some random toy he's never going to play with again. Yeah, flashlights, things like that. And all of a sudden, all of your rechargeable batteries are gone.
Yeah.
And so yours will always be there for that. I have had that same problem. I was sitting here playing Xbox and I turn around and I don't have any batteries. I'm like, oh, they're all over the house somewhere. And I didn't keep 2 down here just for that. But, I will say, Jim, so now that you've got the rechargeable battery pack, I think the next thing, if you really get into it, the Elite controller from Microsoft for the Xbox is awesome. I love this thing. It is, first of all, it's just way more rock solid. Like this compared to, this is the black version of the controller you have. The weight difference is crazy. This thing's kind of heavy. And you got your paddles on the back. So actually, I have 2 of the paddles off. So he has 4 paddles back here. And you can map these to anything. So for Forza, here's your shifting, right? Paddle shifters almost. And you could, or you could do,
You can shift on Forza? You can shift?
Yeah. You turn to manual mode.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not that good yet.
So no. And I'm mainly in automatic. But yeah, you can if you want to. So pretty cool. These Elite controls. And then, so these, Jim, come off. Your thumbsticks, and they come with a whole different pack. So you can actually have tall thumbsticks, which I actually kind of like. You can get a little bit more accuracy with a taller thumbstick. You can take off the D-pad and replace it with, so this is the D-pad that's a circular one. So it's more of you can roll it around. You don't have to be as accurate with this thing. If you're trying to tap down, you don't have to hit the actual arrow. And then different profiles. You got your triggers. You've got actual stops on these. So this is a full trigger pull. So if I'm playing Call of Duty and I want to shoot, I got to pull this all the way. Switch this little switch back here, and it switches it. So it's only half as far, but that's where it's going to activate. So pretty cool. So these Elite controllers are pretty nice. But yeah, I'm jealous that you did. I think, you thought that you made the wrong decision. I actually think you made the right decision going with the proprietary battery packs for those.
Yeah, just a cover. They're dedicated to it. It's one of those kinds of things. This is the, and for $25, you know, it's okay. It's $20, $25. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to try and get crazy about it. And I've had, like you said, I've had where it's been flexible, right? Where, you know, you've got a bunch of batteries and you're right. They disappear. They end up in other things. Sarah is really good. She's always got a box full of batteries in her desk. I don't know why she feels like she needs to be the battery queen, but she always has batteries, which is super great. But when you always have batteries, you're not really careful about your batteries. You know, you leave the flashlights on, and I dropped this thing a little bit earlier. I got a Windows 10 flashlight. Mike, I have the white controller, which I really like. Like, this thing is weighted well. It's got kind of a, you know, it's not a smooth surface down here, so it sits in your hand really well. I've seen guys game with the two fingers like this. I can't do that. I'm still just using one down here.
Yeah, yeah. I want to pick up my controller to see how I game.
Yeah, I don't. Do you do this?
No,
do you
do, I'm one.
You're one?
Yeah. These fingers do everything.
Yeah. I do that as well.
That would be weird. I don't know how you would
get used to one that. Of the things I've been working with John Biggs on is he's been working on his Xbox as well. We've both been having trouble getting non-standard headsets working. Like, I'm trying to get my Bose 35s to be. I listen to them. They're great to game with. Like, I was never using those things. I use them when I travel, but now that I'm gaming with them, man, there is no more comfortable pair of headphones to be wearing when you're gaming than Quiet Comfort 35s.
They are
fantastic. Well, John bought the, I think I saw that on yours. You've got the audio pack or whatever that is, the where you plug it in and you can plug your headphones into it for sound, right? I've just been coming off the keypad or there's one down there. This is the plug-in for that device. And so in using the 35s, we talked about this last week with having the TRRS, that's the three ring, that's what I call it, but the tip ring sleeve in there. And so I picked up, I read all the forums and like, oh no, you need to pick up this Android version of the QR or the QS 15 or 25. That's the Bose, wired ones, and make sure it's the Android version, and the mic on it, which is right here, will work when you plug it into the controller. So you plug one end into your headset. So this plugs in here like that on the headset. Then you plug this into the controller. This becomes your mic and you hear through there. All the forums it's supposed to work doesn't work.
Like, that's so weird.
I can't get it working. I've reset the controller. I've done all these tricks. You know, you watch all these YouTube videos. By the way, there's 7-year-olds making YouTube videos helping people fix this problem. Seven. Yeah. Like, hey, you know, and it's not professional at all. And it's got like 45,000 views. And you're like, what the?
But it works. You're like, oh, thanks, kid.
And it didn't work for me.
Well, yeah.
So, you know, I've got, by the way, 2.5 millimeter connection to the Bose. 3.5 millimeter connection to the Xbox controller. So I got that. I got that right. So yeah, I can't get it working. Mike, honestly, not that worried about it. We could game without having to talk. There's other ways actually for us to game and talk. We could open up Skype, or we could open up a Facebook thing. Or,
well, you know what you can do actually is just run your Windows 10 computer and then you could use your microphone right there. Because you can actually open up a party in the Xbox app on the Windows 10 computer. Yeah. So just open up Xbox. So then even someone who is trying to talk to you from Xbox, just fire it up on your computer. That's the way I did it actually when I was streaming. I opened up the party chat on my computer so I could pipe it into my mixer. It just worked a lot better that way and it worked great.
Yeah, no, super good. I charge these then nightly. I just throw them on after I'm done using them. There's a USB port on the front of the Xbox that works out really, really well. By the way, if you've missed the deal on Xboxes at Christmas, watch the stores. I think it's coming back. So you just might want to, I'm sure there'll be some holiday or pre-summer or something like that. No, maybe the best $200 I've ever spent. And I've really only played Forza. Like, I just have not, like, learning. I am a child when it comes to gaming. I'm still figuring out the controller, how to drift, how to turn, when to slow down. Like, there's a lot of things you got to learn on these things.
Right. If you are, if anyone out there, you know, if they don't have your option, the Bose headphones, and they're looking for a step up from the flimsy Xbox One. So, and actually, so Turtle Beach is obviously, I mean, they are the standard in gaming headsets. So I have the brand new fully wireless ones, which are, I think, about $130. But if you're looking for something that's a little bit more affordable, I also have these. These are what I started with. These are the Turtle Beach XO1s for $44. So this comes with the adapter I showed you, Jim. So it actually doesn't plug into just the headphone jack. It plugs in with the adapter, which gives you mute, volume up. This can actually boost the bass. The sound on these are fantastic. So really good and very comfortable. So a great headset there for $40-$45. You can get these Turtle Beach headsets, and they work really well.
They're, you know, 45% off right now. Shopko, also going out of business, has the $100 Bluetooth version, and they're starting to clearance those out, right? And it was 10% off. So I could have gone completely Bluetooth for $80 or $90, let's say. Is that a deal at $90, do you think?
Which, the Turtle Beach ones?
The Turtle Beach, yeah.
Okay, perfect. When you said Bluetooth, it scared me. Like, yeah. Nah, no, not any Bluetooth. No. For $100, that's a good deal.
Yeah. So I'll have to look. I may go back. I might watch.
I have her upstairs. I can't remember the exact model. I can actually tell you they're up there. I have the Stealth 600s.
Wired or Bluetooth?
Fully wireless.
Fully wireless. Okay. Yeah, he's going to grab those really quick.
Yeah, so these ones right here, yeah. Stealth 600. So they got this little microphone that flips down. These are the most comfortable ones that I've. I mean, and you can wear these for hours. The charge is really good. So I wonder what these are going for on Amazon. I could probably search here for the Stealth 600.
Well, while you're looking for those, all that to say, you know, I'm trying. You know, I got these
84. Not a bad price at all.
Yeah, at Shopko, they're $85.99.
Yep.
Turtle Beach Stealth 600, right?
Those, yes, exactly. Wireless? Yep.
PS4. Well, those are the PS4 versions. So
yeah, so you just gotta select the Xbox one. Yeah. So $84.95 on I'll throw these in the chat as well.
Hey, they've got the Turtle Beach Recon chat gaming headset. That's probably the cheap ones, right? For $20.
The really cheap ones.
That's one ear. Yeah, that's one.
Yeah, and I'll tell you too. I've had some buddies get those. They get the people hear it fine, but the people on the other end, they pick up an echo because they're not built very well, and the microphone picks up from the noise from the earphone.
Good to know. Yeah. Good to know. Well, I'll check those out. Nice
because on the headset themselves, on the 600s, they've got two dials right here. One that does the game chat and one for audio. So it makes it super simple to, hey, oh, the game's really loud, but you're really quiet. And it's right here, right on your fingers and on the headset. So two different dials makes it super simple.
Well, that might be the solution for me, just to be honest. I'd love to use the Bose because I spent a lot of money on those Bose. Now, that being said, I could get these $45 pair from Amazon. Use those when I want to game with you. Then the rest of my gaming on the Bose. Right?
True. Yeah. Well, you know, but once you put those on, you might realize, it's actually not that bad, right?
Do those have Dolby? Not Dolby, but surround or?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Yep. The Dolby, especially the Elite 600s, they have the superhuman hearing. I don't know which. They've labeled it. I think it's their own version. It's called, they label it superhuman hearing. I don't know which one it is. But these also work on Windows 10. So you would be, if you had this headset that was fully wireless. And I have to say, Jim, if you're going to spend the $45, once you have those aren't wireless. You have to plug those in, right? Once you have the full, and you can fully extend, you don't have to, you can set your controller down. You can, this range, so my Xbox that's in the living room, I can be down here and still hear and talk. The range is fantastic. So they work pretty well. And if you ever wanted to do something like if you moved that Xbox in the living room and you wanted to listen to a show without being connected to your controller, right? You're watching TV, Sarah's sleeping, for something like that, the wirelesses are pretty nice.
Okay. Well, man, you're making my life complicated. I did spend $35 on those.
So they return going those, back. You yeah, get the $85 one. You know.
Return that, and then maybe I'll have to wait. Maybe I should wait a little bit to pick up the AirPods.
Yeah.
I tell you, it's been expensive Christmas, man. It just keeps
Christmas just keeps extending just further and further into the year.
It's the gift that keeps giving. That is for sure. Well, a little bit of update on the gaming. We'll probably, Mike and I will probably spend a little more time updating on gaming over the next couple months, just as we're doing more of it together. We'll maybe push like we've done tonight. We'll maybe push the gaming segments towards the end. We will definitely not get into the gaming aspects of reviewing games. That's not what we do here, but we will definitely be talking through some of the hardware like we just did tonight, kind of giving some updates on hardware. That's just kind of a place both Mike and I have been over the last, couple months. He's kind of helping me through it. I know a few of you, because you contacted me, are working through the same problems. So hopefully we're being helpful to you in that. And, you know, the Xbox continues to be, they got some upgrades coming to that here, I think, in the fall. And so probably this summer they'll start clearancing out, I think, some of the low-end S's. And you might want to watch if you're not getting in. Mike, I have yet to put a DVD in this thing. Like, I haven't, or even a Blu-ray. I have yet to put any physical things in the device.
You might never, honestly. I mean, with the way that all the digital download is, it would be fun too, one of these times in post show to, cause you know, you can stream directly from Twitch just with the Xbox, like not even do anything. It'll send your whatever's on your screen and it'll pick up your mic if you want to. So you could just stream to Twitch via there. I could stream to Twitch on my side. And then there's a website where you can type in the two URLs and it actually puts them side by side and pulls in the audio. So you could have, you know, people could watch us with one URL and they can have both of our screens up and watching us play. So we could have some fun and try that if we ever wanted to have some community play time.
Could you do a podcast that way? Like where you just don't play games, but you're on camera and you're doing the whole podcast that way, like we're doing.
You probably could.
Is there a way to record it? Through Twitch, right?
Twitch, yeah. Twitch. But Twitch is only going to record one side. This website is essentially just pulling the feeds from both and putting them side by side. The reason they built it is because people like Ninja play with a team of four people and all of them are streamers. And so you can have it and you can pull up to like eight people, I think, into one web page and watch them all at the same time. And then you pick which one you want to listen to the audio from, because obviously it would be really annoying to hear the audio from both of them. So no, I don't know if it would work too well for podcasting that way. But for gaming together, it'd be a lot of fun.
Okay. Well, I'll get the sound working. Not a huge priority, but we'll get the sound working. Maybe pick up a pair of headphones. You know, picking up another pair of headphones for under $90 to game on, like I said. And then I can, when I'm playing, I just want to find more ways to use those Bose, because they're so freaking expensive. Not traveling as much. You know, I bought them like right at the end of my travel cycle.
Right.
And I stopped traveling. Now that'll all probably travel again here in the future, but they work out pretty well for that. Mike, you've picked up a new Cooler Master?
I did. Yeah. So I was on my Unraid box. I had the original stock cooler that came with the i5 third gen. I mean, that is, if you guys have played with, I mean, they're the tiny, really short, just, I mean, they kind of work, right? They do a decent enough job. But then I had upgraded the processor to the i7. And when I'm running it on Unraid, you know, that processor is getting hit pretty hard, especially with all the Plex transcoding and stuff like that. I didn't realize, Jim, I wasn't monitoring my temps with Unraid. And I put the monitor on there and realized that I was hitting 180 degrees sometimes, between 150 and 180 degrees on that CPU when it was pegged. Which is not good for your CPU. So I was like, okay, time to get something. So I went out and I got the Cooler Master Gemini S5-24 version 2. This thing's been around for a while. The thing I like about this cooler is that it's a pretty big cooler, but it's short. So it fits in my 4U server rack. So if you have a 4U server chassis, fits perfectly in there. And then the way it is, I don't know if it's going to show well on screen, Jim, but if you can tell, so it goes over the CPU, but then the majority of the top piece actually hangs over everything else. So it's really skinny going up, and then that top shroud, or whatever you call it, the top heatsink part, hangs over the RAM. So it kind of goes up and then it hangs over everything else. So you can actually have it so that it's over the RAM or it's over some part of the motherboard, so you don't lose a lot of space. It's not this honking big heatsink. Jim, I saw a 50 degree difference under load. So now when I run my server and it's fully pegged, it's only getting up to about 127, 130 degrees under full load. So going from 180 under full load down to 127, I was shocked at the difference that a solid cooler can make. So nice. Not the coolest thing in tech, but you know, it's always good to go check your temps, guys, right? Get your prostate checks, and check your temps, right? Go just get all the things checked. And
holy cow, that got personal really fast.
Yeah, it did. But it's just good advice for everyone to
gentlemen, check those yes. Tests. Yeah. My annual is coming up. For those of you who followed here, the reason I say that, for those of you who follow me here for know that 2 years ago, even like men have, my prostate was pretty big. They were a little worried, and I went in and had two biopsies or a biopsy and a ultrasound and no cancer, which is good. But you never know. It's a little bit of treatment and it's gone down, and so they're not as worried about it. But that's something you want to check. Mike, I'm in the we'll get real personal here for a second. I'm in the colonoscopy window
where fun.
I just turned 50 and you're supposed to do those kinds of things. So I got to make that appointment here this spring as well before I turn 51.
You need to make a new friend this spring.
I do. you get really good at not caring about, you're like, okay, here I am. Here's my body. Just do what you need to do with it. And so, gentlemen, if you're not getting your annual physical, you should be. Hopefully you're doing that. That's super, super important. And then let them do those things. I know it's a pain and I know it's uncomfortable and I know all those things. Trust me. Been probed more than any of you probably. Maybe not. I bet some of you have had that, but get that and get it done. Mike, anything else from a week?
No. Yeah. No, there is something I want to talk about, but I kind of want to give it, in 2 weeks, since we're not having a show next week, 2 weeks, Unraid just released their 6.7.0 first release candidate for that. So it's not obviously in the stable one, but if you go to the early release path, you can get the release candidate one for 6.7. And it's actually one of those really nice new upgrades where they actually changed a lot of the dashboard. So the GUI changed a lot. I'm sure there's a lot of backend stuff too, which is good. And there is, they've done, for example, SMB Time Machine backup capability. So for those of us on Macs that have Time Machine, usually you've only been able to do that over AFP from Unraid. So now you can do it with SMB, some things like that, but some major amazing changes to the dashboard for Unraid. So I did install that, nothing mission critical on my machine now that I have everything backed up. And so I'm going to run that. Give me 2 weeks to kind of test it out and I can give you guys some quick, what the best upgrades were for 6.7. But yeah, it was a nice big upgrade. I'm surprised actually they didn't do 7.0 instead of just being a 6.7 release. It seems more like a major release than a dot release.
Okay, we have to keep us posted. It's pretty awesome that Unraid has come back as a topic. What's great is some of you are still running it. And I think, Jim,
it's become more popular than ever thanks to Linus Tech Tips. So Linus and 45 Drives. So if you got 45 Drives is a company builds the Storinators. So it's a server that holds, and I think now it's actually more than 45. I think they can actually hold up to 60 drives. So Linus did the petabyte project. He has a petabyte of storage in one box.
Wow.
And they run it on Unraid. He also did a 5 gaming computers off one Unraid box build. So he has 5 GPUs in this Unraid machine, and Unraid is so good at setting up VMs and modern. Like, it has become, I think, because of Linus, it has really taken over as, I think, probably the preferred kind of home server OS for people who don't need to run Windows or Linux or anything like that. If you just want to get up something that's easy yet super powerful. So I think thanks to Linus, actually, it's becoming super popular. And I know that it was talked about here a long time ago, right? And now it's almost like they've finally hit their stride and they got in the right channels and they're becoming, you can tell with their branding, right? They changed their branding for the first time in years. A cleaner look because they're becoming more popular, right? People are going to their website and like, this looks super jankety. Why is Linus doing this? So they kind of polished everything up.
Cool. Well, it's meat is back on the menu, and we'll be excited to. That's a Lord of the Rings reference, by the way, if you're super nerdy. We'll continue to talk about it. So if you're interested in doing that, you can get a hold of Mike. We'll come on the show in a couple weeks to talk about it. One more thing, really cool, maybe a little, did I mention this? I think I did, actually. I think I mentioned it last week. I had to take 113 PDFs and put them into one. Yeah. Did I mention that?
Yep. PDF. Use PDF Google Drive, right?
Yeah, PDF merging on Google Drive. So if you haven't, I couldn't remember if I'd said that last week. I had to do it again this week. I'd done 50 last week and I had 110 to do this week. Zipped them right up, put them all in one PDF, did it clean, kept them in the order that I wanted them in, and totally free through Google Drive. So if you need to do that, who needs to do that on PDFs? Just Jim. But if you need to do that, you can remember. You heard it here. A couple reminders of some things coming up. I have booked Erin Lawrence, so she'll come back for her springtime gig with us. She's back here, it looks like March 7th, so you want to put that on your calendar. You never want to miss Erin. Some of the best shows. Brian brings it. Erin brings it. And then Rich Hay is back. We scheduled him for the Windows 10 update that's coming up here in spring. He'll be back March 28th, so you want to be hanging around for those as well. They're our best guests. And I may get Emily, try to get Emily back on here, give us an update on her book and how some things are going. So we've been talking about that as well. So.
Yeah, Erin has a lot of big life updates. I saw her post on Facebook. I think she retired from TV and she's got a lot. So it'll be fun to catch up with her on everything going on with her.
Yeah, I kind of sheepishly was like, hey, you still doing this? I think she's like, oh, yeah, I'll come on. And she's been slow. She slowed down a little bit on her YouTube channel. Just, I think, with everything that's going on. But yep. So we'll have her on. Yeah, it'll be good to catch up with her as well. Just a couple reminders before we go. One, I'm still trying to figure out this Fitbit thing. So if you got some ideas, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv. It's got to be automatic. And I bought an app and it didn't work. And so I'll give it a try. I may have to buy another one to get it done. If you want to join us financially, if you want to support all the things that we're doing, you can do it on our Patreon link. TheAverageGuy.tv/Patreon will get you there. I appreciate all the supporters. There's 37 of you out there that do that on a weekly basis, or no, monthly basis. And so we appreciate you. Anywhere from $1 to $10, I think, is what we have available out there. I think 5 is the lowest plan. You can get more if you want. That kind of stuff goes to making sure we get some equipment and we get some things in. I get a chance to test some stuff out and, you know, crazy things like these cheap earbuds that get returned. Yeah, it's good. You never know. Like, you never know when you're going to find something like that. TheAverageGuy.tv/support or TheAverageGuy.tv/Patreon kind of gets you there as well. I mentioned it several times. If you want to contact us, send me an email, jim@TheAverageGuy.tv. Twitter is a great way to do it, @JayCollison, @WeagerTech, right? For you, Mike?
That is
correct. If they want to follow you on Twitter. Facebook.com/group/TheAverageGuy if you want to join us out there and get that done. Don't forget the TheAverageGuy.tv platform, both web and media hosting, powered by Maple Grove Partners. Get secure, reliable, high-speed hosting from people that you know and you trust. We were going to do a holiday edition of Cyber Frontiers, and Christian said, sorry, I got to go to Seattle. So, well, he's in the prime of his early career. We'll get Christian back and get Cyber Frontiers rolling that way as well. Don't forget, you can listen to Home Gadget Geeks on an Android or iPhone. Ooh, what do you got there, Mike?
Okay, yeah, I was going to pull something out real quick. Sorry, I forgot one thing.
No,
so at work, I've been talking to Hannah, you know, my back's been hurting a lot. She goes, you know, you really should consider a standing desk, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing bad enough that I need a doctor's note for, though. In our work, we are actually building a brand new building. So they're kind of getting like, okay, because everyone's wanting a standing desk now. And so they're really kind of cracking down on, okay, we're building a brand new building. We're going to have this cool stuff in there. We're going to have standing desks. We're not going to spend a bunch of money buying everyone standing desks now that we're not going to, you know, when we're going to do this permanently in the new building. So, you know, if you have a doctor's note, okay, if you have a, so what I did, Jim, and so in this picture, I took my monitors. I pulled off all of my law books from the top shelf here. And I put my monitors up there, put my law book somewhere else. Well, then my problem was, okay, I needed something to raise my keyboard up. And if you've looked at standing desks, they're really expensive. I was like, okay, you know, if I'm just going to do this myself, I grabbed a $29 from Amazon TV kind of stand, and it works perfect. This thing, I measured out the dimensions I would need, and it has just enough for my phone to sit up there, my keyboard, my mouse. I could put stuff, you know, down below, and it works out really well. So I kind of did my own little converted standing nice desk. Now yeah, I have fully committed because obviously this does not go back down. So I stand all day. I do have one spot to the left here. You can see where this chair is at that I can sit down if I need to read through a document that I'm gonna be reading through for a long time. But yeah, just kind of, I've noticed that there were no cheap standing desk options. So if you have, you know, you can go and do kind of your own little makeshift thing. Like I said, $29 for this little stand on Amazon, and nice, and it worked out really well. So yeah, just one little cool little hack.
It's a $300 bill if you want to get the right equipment to get it done.
Oh, easily, if not more than that. Yeah.
Yeah. No. So pretty cool. Mike, we had two snowstorms in a row here, and the first one wiped out my HelloFresh order. It did come Tuesday. I talked about that before. They gave us some credit for that, and actually everything was good except the meat. This week, it still didn't come, but FedEx was able to get it up here and deliver it on Monday. Everything was great. So even with the delay, we normally get them on Saturdays, even a delay to Monday, it was fine. We've been eating them this week. The daughter has gone back to college, and so we're back down to the two people meal. We have cooked together two nights in a row this week, which has just been fabulous. And I continue, we had these really spicy taco things that had onions and poblano peppers that I cooked into it, and then pork. And we made this salsa out of the onions and a mango. Yeah. And a mango and some tomatoes and like stuff I would never put together, and a little crema, a little sour cream that's got some stuff in it. Like, I don't know what's in it. Some good stuff. They use a lot of stock. Like, so we're making, like, if I was making taco meat, I wouldn't put chicken stock in there, but they,
oh, do. Yeah, I never would have either.
No. Super good. Like a little tomato paste and some chicken stock and some pork, a little poblano and some onions. Like that's just, I'm not doing that normally. And so Sarah's getting ready to have a little bit of surgery on her wrist. And so I'll be a full-time, I'll be sous chef and cook during those weeks that she's doing that. And I'm glad I got HelloFresh to kind of back it up and help me do that. So I got a couple, so I still have like four coupons that basically give it to you for free. So if you want to ping me, jim@theaverageguy.tv, we get you a free week. Give it a try. Again, I make nothing off those. I don't really care. It's just done such great stuff for me. And the way I eat and the way I think about eating has completely changed. Like even now when I go to restaurants, I'm kind of thinking like, what's in that? Like, what are they making?
I wonder how they're making that. You know, I might be able to do that actually.
Yeah, I know. So you get a free week. If you want to support me, if you want to help with it, I have some codes that get you 40 and gets me 30. You can give it a try. My recommendation, most of you have kids that have contacted me like, I don't know if my kids will eat this. Well, don't. Take a week. Enjoy the meals, just you and your wife. Make the kids mac and cheese every day. Like they just get hot dogs, mac and cheese, corn dogs. What else, Mike? What else? Chicken nuggets.
Chicken pot pies.
What chicken pot? What else lands on the Uyghur shopping list for the kids? What are they?
Chicken pot pies are their absolute favorite. And then just grilled chicken and carrots are kind of their favorite too.
Yeah. Give it a try. Cook something good for you and the missus, or you and the mister. Like maybe I don't know. I think maybe 1% of you are ladies that are listening to this. By the way, I'd like to hear from you. Like, why are you listening? But like, I don't think Emily, I don't think we've seen Emily out there tonight. She hasn't made the cut.
Emily's always out here, you know, not in a bad way. Why are you listening? But like, why are you?
No,
listening?
I know. I just, yeah, no, it's great. In fact, we'd love to have more, but I just,
we would.
It's not, it's kind of a sausage fest here. So,
can you say that?
I think I can. I think I just did. I did. Hey, you dropped it's a swear word. You dropped a swear word earlier. Now I'm gonna have to make this thing explicit. No.
Oh, I did.
No,
oh, I
didn't realize. You did, but I'm not gonna make.
Oh, it okay. Explicit. Yeah.
Nobody caught it. I thought for sure it would somebody catch it in the chat room. Mike said the S word. So, because you said you were given, somebody was giving you.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So, give it a try. If you want to join me on HelloFresh and give that a try, send me an email, jim@theaverageguy.tv, and I'll send you, I'll get you signed up. Sarah just sent me a note, I think. I think that has to do with me. She says, stop judging me. So we are live every Thursday, 8 p.m. Central, 9 Eastern, out here at theaverageguy.tv/live. We won't have much of a crypto show, but we will do one. I think Gavin said we should show pictures. So maybe I'll line up a few pictures to show you guys tonight.
Yeah.
We'll do a little post show. So don't go anywhere. Now, without Chatwing, Mike, I can't see people leaving.
That's true. So they can all ghost. Everyone's just ghosting. Like just, oh yeah. I just wasn't very talkative, Jim. I was there. I was there. Although you can see the view count on YouTube.
Oh, hold on. Sarah's. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you thought he was, you've been drinking too much. Okay. So I, apparently she didn't hear me and she's not judging me. She just wanted, but she heard me say I was, I don't know what she's doing. We don't forget, next week, no show. We'll be back with a show in 2 weeks and then on to the summer. With that, we'll say goodnight, everybody.